The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor. And they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you and I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the elders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built. And you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples and the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses," he said. "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice, we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. After these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem, in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him at Gibeah, the town of Phinehas, his son, which had been given him in the hill country of Ephraim. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks, Andrew.
Well, this morning is a really significant day. Earlier I spoke about a new generation with Ben and Richard commencing. Today I want to speak about someone else who's played a massive role in the life of Rangeville Community Church. For those who maybe haven't had the opportunity to know Herman, Herman was the founding pastor of Rangeville Community Church in 2004. As he listened to God, he brought a prophetic word that we were to buy land, build a building, and see that built debt-free. And Herman was true in his calling as a prophet, and that came to pass, which is really good compared to the Old Testament things that happened to prophets when it didn't come to pass. In 2007, it was Herman who approached me and asked me to give up my former employment and step into ordained ministry. And then in 2010, Herman passed the baton on to me before he retired in 2013. So in the 12 years since then, Herman has ministered in many different churches across our city and further afield, where he has brought incredible and rich blessings. He's also always been supported by Val, and it's wonderful, Val, and to have from Herman and Val your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, 4 generations here this morning. Let's welcome the whole family, or the family that are here this morning. Herman has a remarkable gift of prayer and prophecy. He prays, he listens to God, and he shares what he hears. He's ministered with a very clear calling of God on his life, ably assisted by Val. But in addition to prayer and prophecy, Herman has an incredible gift as a person of care, to come alongside people in their ups and downs of life and to walk with them through those times. He's also very gifted with numbers. He was always meticulously aware of the finances and the attendance of this church, but not only this church. Some pastors of other churches said that Herman knew their finances and attendances better than they did. And so that really leads me just to acknowledge Herman's passion for walking in unity with other pastors. Can I get the first photo up there, please? This was Herman's ordination at Anali Uniting Church. And we see Herman there being prayed for. We see Val as well. And one of the beautiful things about Herman's passion for walking with other pastors in the city is evident in the next photo, as we see that come up, please. These are all of the other ministers from different denominations that were present that day when Herman was ordained. And that happened because Herman had gone and met with them and formed a relationship with all the other pastors from other churches. And that's been a characteristic that we've known of Herman, wherever he's been, whatever city or church or parish that he's been in, he's continued to reach out and minister to and alongside other pastors in the city. And so a really clear scripture, I think, summarizes Herman's ministry really well is Psalm 133. I'm going to read it. It's only three verses long. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon, now that means Mount Hermon, not the man. So it's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So this morning, Herman's going to preach to us on one of the passages that he loves, which is Joshua 24. I'd like to welcome you up, Herman, to come and bring the message for us. Can we welcome him, please?
So I wonder, can you hear me this morning? Yes. Brilliant. Because I remember not long after I came to Rangeville, 25 years ago, the people in the church complained that they had trouble hearing me when I was preaching. Now I had one of these mics that fitted on my shirt, but they weren't omnidirectional, so when you turn sideways, they can't hear anymore what you're saying. So the complaint reached the elders, and they decided something needed to be done. And they brought in, one week night, a specialist in acoustic stuff, and they set up the sound system in the church. There were no congregation, and they tried different things to see how they could improve so that people could hear me. And after he finished his research, he said, well, we've got two options. We can buy a Madonna mic for him, which is one of these which moves around when you move around, or you'll have to find another minister. I'm glad they chose the first option. And not the second one, because now people can hear when I'm speaking to them. You might have seen on the slide at my ordination and with the other pastors in Inala that I wore my white Nike. That was a gift at my ordination from the elders of the church, and never really felt comfortable wearing an angel suit. So when COVID came, I decided to sacrifice my angel suit. There was a group of women that we knew who were making face masks. Remember COVID face masks? And so my white nightie ended up cut up into small pieces of people's face masks. So it ended up for a good purpose. But back to the message today and the story of Joshua. This story is all about choices. Choices that people had to make then. Choices that we have to make now. Now when Joshua speaks to the people after he's called the 12 tribes together at Shechem, when he speaks to them, he speaks the words of the Lord. Because he starts his message with, "Thus says the Lord." And then he reminds them, God reminds them of their past, how their history with God started back in Mesopotamia with Abraham, and then to Canaan, and from there to Egypt, and then back to Canaan again. Now while they were in these other places, they were exposed to the so-called gods in all those places. And they dabbled and were continuing to dabble with all of them. God reminded them that it was his doing, and that they were now ensconced in their promised land. You might remember he said, you live in cities and in houses that you haven't built, and you have vineyards that you enjoy, that you haven't planted. It was my doing, God said. So keeping to God's side of the covenant required that they worship the Lord only and not any other so-called gods. So the message today is about covenant renewal and choices. Exodus reminds us what God's clear expectation was of his people. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water that's under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children of the third generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. He kind of put it out there very clearly, doesn't he? If you want to be part of God's family, you worship him and him only. Now, the story seems to suggest that God had given them the whole of the promised land, and he had, but they hadn't actually taken possession of whole of the land, because at the time when the people were called to Shechem, there were still people from 9 different previous people groups living in the promised land with them. And they all followed their own gods, their so-called gods. And the temptation was for the Israelites to fall in step with the people that they lived amongst. And so when it came to following the gods of the country, it was very tempting to join in, because there were some amazing examples of what that meant. The main god in Canaan was the god Baal. And Baal means Lord. On a side note, women who were married used to call their husbands Baal as a mark of respect. But the prophets put pay to that and told them to stop calling their husbands Baal so that they wouldn't get confused with the god of Canaan, but to call them Ish, which means man. Puts them in their proper place anyway. But Baal worship meant that if you were looking for good crops or a good outcome with the herds and the flocks that you had, then Baal was the one that you turned to, because it was in his conduit to provide you with it. Very appealing to the people who lived there. And not too difficult. Bring a sacrifice to Baal and end up with good crops and good. To make it a bit easier for them, there was also an expectation that if you really wanted to be blessed with good crops, You went to the shrine where Baal was worshipped and had sexual intercourse with one of the prostitutes, the sacred prostitutes that were living in the shrine. And that wasn't classed as being unfaithful to your wife. That was a duty of worship. That sounds appealing to some men. Was very popular in those days. But the sad thing was that so many Israelites followed the example and did exactly that. Let me show you what the what the psalmist said about it, David. They didn't destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons and poured out innocent blood. The blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played the whore. That's kind of putting it out there, isn't it? Interesting that they were prepared to sacrifice their children, because that was the expectations of one of the Canaanite gods, that if things were going against you and you wanted a turnaround in your circumstances, you sacrificed one of your children. Now, I'm a parent, and that's abhorrent to me, but they did. We read it further on in the scriptures about one Israelite king who, when he was facing a battle and the opponents were attacking the city, he took his son onto the city walls and killed them in front of the people there. Now, when he did that, the troops of the opposition withdrew and went home. But it's not something that's recommended, and it certainly didn't please God when they did it. So it's very tempting when you live in a community to take on the values of that community, and it's a warning for us now, and it was a warning for them. So in Joshua 24, 14 to 16, he challenges the people to confirm the choice that they had previously made to worship the Lord only. Now, he knew perfectly well that they weren't doing it. I mean, they worshipped the Lord, but they also worshipped other gods. And that would mean doing away with the items used in worshipping the so-called God from the other places. So he says, choose today whom you will serve. And today's message is all about choices. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your sights to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Proud words. So they reaffirmed their covenant. And it tells us that whilst Joshua was alive, generally, people served the Lord, but they didn't really get rid of all their idols and all the stuff. And the end of the chapter tells us that whilst Joshua was alive and the elders that were there, who remembered what God had done, they followed the Lord. But pretty soon, another generation came up who hadn't heard the old stories, who didn't know what was happening, and they fell in apostasy. And God had to time and time again chastise them by allowing other countries to come and take over parts of their country. Now, interesting when we think that they were supposed to have gotten rid of all the people who lived in the country, and they didn't. And we heard about all those Ishites, you know, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, etc., etc., etc. When Jesus was ministering, and after he had celebrated 5,000 people being fed with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and the baskets and baskets of food left over, a little while later, the gospel tells us that he went across the Jordan River and repeated that thing with 4,000 people and more baskets left over. Now, the people who lived in that part of the country were the people who were left over from the nations that we've just heard about, all those ites. They were still around. Those people groups still existed. And he ministered to them, because the gospel of Christ is not just for one particular group of people. It's meant to be for all the people in the whole world. So he says, and he makes it abundantly clear, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, the English is a bit strange as a language. It uses the future tense, we will serve the Lord. But the Hebrew has a much fuller meaning. They have more tenses than past, present and future, and active and passive. Drives you nuts when you study Hebrew to learn all the ins and outs. But it expresses continuous action involving the future, but also the past. So in fact, what Joshua was saying, I have chosen and I will choose. His history confirms the choice in the past. He chose and he chose and he kept on choosing the Lord. And here he confirms his choice. It's an ongoing relationship. You know, that doesn't just apply to Joshua. That applies to all of us today. We have choices that we make, and not just a one-off choice. We have to choose and keep choosing. You know, it's not a one-off decision to ask Jesus into our life as Savior and Lord. That's wonderful. We get our passport to heaven and we become part of God's family. But our faith requires us to choose and keep on choosing to follow the Lord and not any other so-called gods. And in Australia, we're surrounded by so many other called so-called gods. Whether you're into football or horse races or whatever your thing is, if it takes the place of God's priority in your life, then you've got idols and you need to get rid of them, because we have to worship Him and Him only. So today we have the opportunity to reaffirm for ourselves what it means to choose Him and follow Him and make that choice and keep making that choice. In our worship time this morning, we sang a song by a group called Here Be Lions. Interesting name for a music group. They picked the name of their group because of Europeans who went to Africa to so-called discover the lands in Africa. So they went there and they followed and drew maps of the areas that they visited, because there were no maps around at that time. And when they made these maps, they wrote on there in words, here be lions, if they found in that particular area where they were that there were lions. That was the name that they chose for their band. And we sang this morning, I speak Jesus, I speak the name of Jesus. And that's what we did, what we sang, and what we will keep doing. But Here Be Lions sang another song. And the song is to do with the choices that we forecast today. And let's just listen to the words of this song and watch Here Be Lions in action.
For me and my house, we're gonna serve you. For me and my house, you'll get the praise. For me, and my house, we're gonna serve you. For me and my house, you'll get the praise. For me and
with heaven's authority, we take back our destiny.
Amazing song, and it really challenges me every time I hear it to make a new commitment that I do want to follow the Lord and Him only. Friends, one of the ways in which God has been speaking to me and dealing with me is that He, during my message, lets me feel prayers, feel parts of my body that are aching, that aren't my part of my body. They're parts of someone else's body here that's aching. And when He tells me what that part is, that's a message for people here who have that problem or have that issue to respond, because God's healing power is here this morning. So let me tell you some of the things that I've been feeling. And as soon as I tell you what they are, the pain leaves me, because it's not my pain. My lungs, breathing issues, my lungs. I believe that there are someone or people here who have lung issues. And if that's you, make sure you come forward for prayer and receive the healing that God wants to give to you. My mind was kind of going dark at certain times this morning, and I was curious what God was trying to show me by that. And He tells me that there are people here who are struggling with their mental issues. They're struggling because even though they know intellectually that they're a child of God, they don't feel like that they belong to God's family. They feel alienated. And God wants to readdress that issue and tell you today that if that's how you feel, you confess it before Him and receive prayer, and He'll put you back in a correct relationship with Him so that you can look forward to your future with confidence. The third thing that I felt anxiety in my heart. When I asked the Lord what that was about, He told me that there are people here who have been praying for members of their family and close friends to make a decision to follow Jesus for a long time, and they haven't seen the outcome of their prayers. I believe God is saying today, don't give up. Don't give up, because it's His intention to listen to your prayers and do something about it. So if that's you and you have family members that you've been praying for and you haven't seen the outcome, don't give up, because today He confirms that it's His plan and purpose for them to be saved. Okay. I hope that the prayer team this morning over here will be flat out with the opportunities to pray for people who respond. So what did God say to me today, and what will I do with what I've heard? Father, we thank you for the choices that you've given us. So many of us already accepted your invitation to become members of your family when we became children of God by accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord. But thank you that you don't leave us there. You want us to move on in our relationship with you and with others. Thank you for this church where we can learn more about who you are and what you have in mind for our lives. And Father, as we speak about choices, we want to confirm our choice that we want to follow you as Lord and you only. And any other so-called gods that we may have in our life, we want to recant, get rid of them, and just focus on you and our relationship with you. So we give you honor and glory. We praise you and thank you that you are a healing God. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the usual position after the service, prayer on this side for anything at all. And if you feel God spoke to you, make sure you take that opportunity. On this side, the young people from Nitro will come. They have an excitement about praying for healing for people, and we've seen amazing outcomes from their prayers. So you've got two options this morning. And at the end of the service, barista coffee, for those of you who are into barista coffee, and an opportunity to share one another's fellowship. So it's good that we can worship the God together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. Go out this week to serve the Lord.
Now before Herman finishes up, just a couple of things. On the photo you saw of Herman's ordination, there's also Val. Val, can you come forward, please? Because you've been with Herman these 40 years and beyond that as well. And we want to acknowledge you. And so, Val, with our love and appreciation, a gift for you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Herman, again, just a card to say our thanks and appreciation for you, how much you have blessed us today, but not just today, over the 25 years that you've been part of Rangeville Church. Thank you. And again, can we just say thank you to Herman as we wrap up this morning. God bless. Have a great day. Thanks, everyone.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144. Or you can email us office@rangeville.com.